This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're talking about the last email that was sent where he wanted to know what you did this week. You know why he wanted that, by the way? I thought it was great. Because we have people that don't show up to work and nobody even knows if they work for the government. So by asking the question, tell us what you did this week, what he's doing is saying, are you actually working? And then if you don't answer, like you're sort of semi-fired or you're fired, because a lot of people are not answering because they don't even exist. They're trying to find, that's how badly various parts of our government were run by, and especially by this last group. So what they're doing is they're trying to find out who's working for the government. Are we paying other people that aren't working? And, you know, where is all this? Where's the money gone? We have found hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud so far, and we've just started. We're actually going to Fort Knox to see if the gold is there, because maybe somebody stole the gold. Tons of gold. So I think it was actually, there was a lot of genius in sending it. We're trying to find out if people are working. And so we're sending a letter to people. Please tell us what you did last week. If people don't respond, it's very possible that there is no such.
So President Trump speaking from the Oval Office, I think it was just yesterday, maybe. And he's talking about the email that was sent out by Elon Musk and Doge. Failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. Musk, who heads up Doge, said Saturday afternoon to this email that was sent out. Now, can you legally do this? I don't know. It feels to me like a lot of what the Trump administration has done has been very thoughtfully laid out, has been very pre-planned by a lot of think tanks that have waited just for this very moment. And Doge, to me, it seems like the more they find out, the more questions that they have. And so Elon Musk is out there maybe throwing some spaghetti at the wall. Let's talk to our friend Andy McCarthy about it. He's a contributing editor at National Review, fellow at National Review Institute, and he's host of the McCarthy Report. And we, of course, see him as a Fox News contributor. Andy, welcome back to the show. Good to have you.
Andy, great to be with you.
Thank you. When you saw the story kind of develop and Elon Musk sends these emails out and wants people to respond with some bullet points of what they do, a lot of people are saying, I don't work for you, Elon Musk. I don't have to do this. What are your thoughts on the legal ramifications of this endeavor?
Well, you know, look, I think it was what they're trying to do, like their overarching goal is a good one. They want to understand what everybody in the federal government, in particular the executive branch. I think part of why this was an overshoot on Musk's part is, you know, not all of the 2.2 million people who work for the federal government work for the executive branch. The president's in charge of the executive branch, but he doesn't have a right to be, you know, nosing around in what's going on with the judiciary and congressional branches. But, you know, the idea that they should know what people are doing and whether these jobs are worthwhile. I think one of the theories that Trump has about executive power, which I agree with, is that while the president doesn't have what we call constitutional impoundment authority, in other words, he can't cancel spending that Congress does outright, he does have the right to run the executive branch. And if he can accomplish what Congress has asked him statutorily to accomplish, but do it with, you know, for less money and resources that Congress has appropriated, he should be able to do that. If they've asked for spending that's against the law for some reason or other, he should be able to, you know, freeze it, review it, and not spend it if he's got a legal defense to spending it. So all those things are good ideas. The question is, how do you go about it? And, you know, you don't want to ask 2.2 million people, what'd you do last week? I mean, I know it sounds like it's common sense, but, you know, if you're working at the Justice Department or the FBI or a law enforcement agency, you can't explain what you were doing last week without the possibility of either creating legal problems for the government in ongoing cases, compromising, you know, information that shouldn't be compromised about investigations and that sort of stuff. And every big department, the Defense Department, the State Department, et cetera, are all going to have mission-related reasons why you wouldn't want to just, in an unfiltered way, have everybody describe what they were doing. Plus, Trump has installed all these people at these important agencies, Cash Patel, Pete Hegseth, Marco Rubio, Tulsi Gabbard, et cetera, because he trusts them and he thinks he can run them efficiently. So if you really want to get to the bottom of what people are doing, Musk ought to be asking, you know, Pete Hegseth, what's going on, who's doing what at the Defense Department, and have the conversation at that level where he can use the expertise of the people who are closest to the situation that Trump trusts without having, you know, the whipsaw and the panic that went on in the federal workforce. So I think it's a good, you know, it's a good impulse. It's just not, this one wasn't well thought through.
Yeah. We're speaking with Andy McCarthy right now, our legal expert and friend here, Fox News contributor. When I'm watching the president in these first 30 days, I mean, it's just been such a fast pace 4 weeks to watch what his administration has come in and done. And there have been you know, plenty of legal challenges to things that the president has signed through executive order. I'm wondering what your thoughts are, the assessment of these first 4 weeks. I got to assume that any president who comes in knows that there are going to be legal challenges. If you think that it's going to be challenged, you don't just quit and not do it. What do you think about the legal preparation that Donald Trump has had coming into this administration to get done what he said he was going to get done?
Well, first of all, I agree with you entirely about the pace. You know, I think I was 20 when this administration started a month ago. I sure feel that way. I mean, every week's been like a dog year by the time you get to the end of it. Mm-hmm. So they have taken on a lot. But on the other hand, you know, he's got a 4-year term. And, you know, the way politics intrudes, we're going to have midterm elections in 2026. And then the main story, I mean, Trump is such an outsized figure. He's never going to allow himself to be relegated to the sidelines. But, you know, it's going to be a big story. Who's going to be the president in 2028? You know, who's going to win that election? So I think Trump probably figures I have, you know, a year to 18 months to really get done the things that are of highest priority to me. And I think he had the advantage, which is weird to say it because he obviously wanted to win the 2020 election, but he had the advantage of having done the job before. So it's not like he's going to be thrown in not knowing where all the levers are, but having 4 years to think about what he would do the next time to hit the ground running and pursue the things he wants to pursue. And I think that's exactly what they've done. So I get that, you know, you hit the ground running with like 100 executive orders and he followed them with more executive orders. And obviously those are orders that allow the president to organize or reorganize the executive branch and exercise power that he has. So it's good to, especially if you want to make big changes with that, to put implement them right away. Some of the stuff is going to be edgy, and where it's edgy, you expect that there are going to be lawsuits, just like, you know, when Biden was president, when Obama was president, there were lots of lawsuits with respect to that, too. You know, Obama in particular started this style of governance because he couldn't get anything done in Congress, where he basically said, I have a phone and I have a pen and I'm just going to rock and roll. And a lot of conservative litigants said, well, no, actually, you're not, and went to court. So you expect this. And unfortunately, you know, you have a lot of judges who are ideological. And if you know what president appointed them, you pretty much know where they're going to come out on a litigation. I think also, by the way, you have an awful lot of judges who are just trying to get it right and do the right thing. But these left-wing groups who are now challenging Trump are forum shopping to places where they think they're going to get judges who are helpful to them. So you get a lot of litigation, for example, before the district court in the District of Columbia. Just like when Biden was president, you had a lot of litigation in Florida and Texas. You know, this is what lawyers do. They try to figure out, you know, where's the best place I can bring my claim to try to, you know, get a favorably disposed judge. So you have a lot of that going on. And I think you have a lot of judges who don't think it's a big deal to say, let's put the brakes on this for 2 weeks. And so I can like sit through it and sort it out. Sometimes that's a good impulse. Sometimes it's a really bad impulse. You know, we have a case right now involving the Office of Special Counsel, the guy who runs the Special Counsel's office, which kind of enforces federal laws that pertain to the federal workforce. There should be no doubt that because that lawyer is a government official who exercises executive power, President Trump should be able to remove him. He doesn't need to have a reason, even though the Congress tried to put in the civil service laws that you have to have, you know, reasons for that. He should be able to remove him. Instead of letting him remove him, you had a district judge in Washington who said, let's wait 2 weeks. You know, I'll have a hearing in 2 weeks. And they're trying to set up the precedent that the judiciary can basically, in any case, even when the president should win as a slam dunk, they should be able to put the brakes on it. So there's a lot of it. A lot of this is very frustrating in terms of pace, but it's probably more sensible to look at, you know, what does it look like 4 months from now or 6 months from now than right this minute.
It's a lot to take in. And of course, you're a legal expert. So I would imagine that getting in the weeds on all of these things for you, it's a necessity. But for us, you just kind of sit here and you stare and you wait for the next thing to happen. It's hard to consume for the non-legal experts out here. So we're grateful for your time. Last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Andy McCarthy. The president, of course, faced a lot of legal challenges coming into his presidency. He is a convicted felon right now. Now we understand how that materialized. He is working on the appeal. What are there legal challenges that Donald Trump still faces due to what the Democrats were able to successfully bring against him as far as charges go?
There's no prospective charges. You know, for example, the federal cases that got dismissed, they were dismissed, particularly the one in Washington, that was dismissed without prejudice, which in theory means that when Trump gets out of office, when he's, 82, 4 years from now, they could ramp that case up again. Mm. That's never going to happen. And the other thing is by then it would be, by then the 2020 election will have been like many years before. So you'd be brushing up against the statute of limitations and all that stuff. So I don't think there's any of that stuff that will be revived. I do think you're going to see litigation in the appeals of the two big cases in New York. The one that you just referred to, which was the Manhattan criminal case, they have a very good chance to get that reversed on appeal. And that's going to go forward. The reason that can go forward is basically clients don't participate in an appeal. It's not like a trial where the client has to be, you know, the defendant has to be there every day. So the appeal is something you can leave to the lawyers to do. It shouldn't interfere with President Trump's ability to be president. And the other thing that's on appeal is the atrocious civil fraud judgment that also came out of New York against Trump. I think he's got a very good chance to get the remember, that damage award was almost half a billion dollars.
It was outrageous.
Yeah, he's got a very good chance, I think, to get that either gutted in a way that would significantly decrease the judgment or even get it thrown out, because the Court of Appeals, got argued, was not happy, it appeared at least, with what Tish James, the Attorney General of New York, did. She basically took a consumer protection statute that is basically for the protection of people who don't have the resources to fight fraudulent practices by big companies, and she applied it in a situation where you're dealing with sophisticated financial actors on both sides of a transaction who do, you know, they know they have to do due diligence in their dealings with each other. And that's why, you know, she couldn't prove any fraud. And most of the people who did business with Trump made money and said they'd love to do business with him again. It was kind of a stupid case.
Kind of a stupid case. And I quote Andy McCarthy. I love that. I mean, what I hear you saying here, correct me if I'm wrong, that it is possible that every legal challenge that Donald Trump faced, could charges could either be dropped or he could be exonerated.
Yeah, I think that's right. The federal cases, you know, look, I think that the Mar-a-Lago case was the biggest threat to him. And the reason that case never got to trial is because Jack Smith overcharged it, and the classified informations issues in it were very complicated. And then in a really bullheaded move, when Judge Cannon suggested that Jack Smith's appointment was not kosher constitutionally, there was a very easy fix for the Biden Justice Department. They could have just reassigned Smith to work under a confirmed U.S. attorney in Florida, and that would have been the end of the problem. Instead, Garland and Smith decided to fight Judge Cannon on that, and the result was the indictment got dismissed, and there was no way that the appeal was going to be completed by the time of the election, and then Trump won, so the case ended up being dropped. So I think he caught a break on that one, but whether I'm right or wrong about that, the fact is the case is dropped and it's not going to be revived. Mm. And none of the other criminal cases against him that were part of the Lawfare campaign are going to be revived, except for the Manhattan one that we talked about, and he's got a good chance to beat that on appeal.
It's really something. This has been, it's been quite a 4 years, even more so than that. Andy McCarthy, we're thankful for your time. We appreciate you being with us here today and look forward to having you back again soon.
Thanks so much, Annie.
Take care. Bye-bye. Andy McCarthy is a contributing editor at National Review, Fox News contributor, host of The McCarthy Report. Check that out. Find him on X at Andrew.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
C. McCarthy. Ryan Wiggins is back in studio. Thoughts?
Andy McCarthy is a very, very wise man. And when he comes on the show, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I respect his opinion about legal matters mainly.
Don't insult him.
Man.
No, I mean, in general, but mainly.
But especially.
I said mainly legal matters.
Okay. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Everybody really is grateful.
I think we're all better off for it.
Quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the YouTube live chat poll. You guys want to take phone calls on this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
The question is, should the House GOP pass the Trump-approved bill? And the question really is, if Donald Trump says this is what I want the House to do, should all of the House Republicans jump in line and support President Trump on what President Trump says he wants to do? Because to me, when you've got, you can only, I don't even know if, can they lose, they can lose one vote, that's
one
it?
One vote,
they can lose
it.
One
it's
vote.
It's Thomas Massie.
Yeah, and he's claimed it. Do you want the Republicans to say, listen, Donald Trump had a mandate, support Trump, we'll sort out the details later. This is what you got to do if you want to join the show. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You tell us, if Trump wants it, do you want it? Or is it a little more complicated than that? 314-241-9797. Your phone calls and our thoughts next.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.